Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome inside WOKV Jaguar Central. Time for another edition of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. You can join us 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, and the Fortunatos, Joe and Linda, here with us this evening as we embark on this 52-minute program. Lots to discuss. We could talk about the OTAs out in the rain. We could talk about DeMaurice Smith, who was here yesterday. But first, we have a first. You agree with the weather meter?
Well,
for
actually,
the very first time.
No, I've decided that I don't
in this
agree.
Program.
You don't agree?
It's a one.
No,
it's too high.
Come on.
That's too
Come
high.
Vic, you
oh,
gotta,
one is
you,
too high.
Is zero on the scale? Because if zero's on the scale, that's hurricane.
Well, you're the economist. Is zero a number?
Zero is a number.
Okay. So even though it represents no number.
Absolutely. It's okay. A number.
I've never been in weather this bad that there wasn't a fear for your life. I just went out to the car earlier this afternoon. And when I came back in, I was drenched, and I had a long raincoat on, my shoes, my socks, my pant legs, everything was drenched. The water is coming down in sheets, and it's been like that for four days.
You don't have your old Pittsburgh galoshes?
No.
They were called Cleveland shoes.
You had a pair when you were there, didn't you?
Not galoshes. I just had bad shoes that were once good shoes that were ruined and wet. So I just
in
kept.
Cleveland.
You never had galoshes, the kind that went over your shoes.
No, I don't. I never had galoshes. I know you.
You know, like the real thin rubber things. That
yeah,
we never
call
had
galoshes.
That.
All right, so you're. Can we go? Can
we go, call them the other thing?
Can we go? You want to say it?
No.
Rubbers.
Call them, yeah,
they were called rubbers.
Yeah,
because they were rubber.
Did you have?
I wore rubbers. Yes.
Okay.
He wouldn't say it. Then he said it with flair, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you expect every Wednesday night here on Jaguars This Week.
Yeah, but you got to have room for a hurricane. So I agree. One is right on.
Can
the
we go fractional with this?
I guess one's okay, yeah. I mean, it's certainly not a two. I mean,
no.
if it was a zero, we'd all be dead, right?
Yeah,
so it's a one.
So. Zero would be life-threatening.
I mean, Jeff, I was out on the practice field Monday and Tuesday. Now, from what I understand, I was not supposed to be on the practice field.
I was going
to
say,
Tuesday,
I
was supposed to be
I saw that it wasn't
close
open.
To the media, but I was out there in my raincoat and my rain hood and... It was unbelievable. I mean, it was so bad. If it was cold, it was windy. The water was, it was a torrential downpour.
Well, that'll get you ready for the season.
Monday was awful. And today's, I think, the worst.
And tomorrow's not supposed to be all that much
and
better.
And at the beach, I mean, we might as well be living in a swimming pool.
We've got a foot of water. Yeah, we've got a foot of water in Atlantic Beach.
It's just, and this is supposed to go on another day or two?
Another day. 24 more hours, Mike Burrish was telling me as I left the studio. I said, how much longer am I going to walk out in this rain? He said, 24 more hours.
If the Jaguars had to play a game today, what do you think they'd draw?
I'm trying to remember the Cincinnati game in 96 that was like this.
Yeah,
remember that game?
Yeah.
Mike Hollis kicked 5 field goals, and they won, I think, 15-14.
Wow. I mean, it is really... But I sensed that their two practices were of respectable quality. It seemed like I can tell
wait,
you.
Wait. You didn't get the boot on Tuesday?
No. How about that? I stood out there and I'm thinking, where's all these other clowns? There's no other reporter out here. You know, I don't see anybody. There's no Stellino. There's no Michael Wright. There's no Jeff Loggeman. There's no Brian Sexton. There's no Gene Frenette.
Yeah.
Nobody. Just me. And I'm standing there.
Because it's closed.
And then I was told today you shouldn't have been there.
Who told you that?
Ryan Robinson.
Okay. I wonder whether Jack had said something to you.
No, because... No. Nobody.
He knows who's on his practice field. He obviously elected to let you stay.
Apparently.
Yeah.
You know, I was just watching. It wasn't like I was filming anything. I mean, if you'd like to know what happened, I'll tell you.
Tell us. for those people who have no idea what happened on Tuesday.
I try to keep a special eye out for the quarterbacks and wide receivers for the obvious reason. It was very, very windy. And David Garrard and Todd Bauman have arms that can cut that wind. You know, the other guys, the ball floated around. I was super, super impressed with the wide receivers, especially the kids. I mean, really, really impressed. Jeff, this is the best receiving core in terms of depth. This is the best receiving core they've had in a long, long time. I'm going to tell you now.
We're going to have to give you a speeding ticket, Vic?
You may, but I'm going to qualify. I'm going to qualify this. They may have more honest-to-goodness professional football wide receivers on this team than they've ever had. And if you challenge that, tell me who's the third best wide receiver in Jaguars history, Jeff?
Doesn't matter, because once you get past one and two, that's all you need.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I mean, I saw Tyquan Underwood go up and grab a ball, you know, and snatched it. And those balls were soaking wet, heavy. It was windy. The whole bit. I saw Jared Dillard drop one. Mm-hmm. How about that? You know, the guy never drops a ball, catches everything.
His hands are so soft.
Yeah. Well, he dropped a deep ball yesterday, but you know, it's raining the whole bit. Mike Thomas catches everything and moves after he catches it. The kid from Nebraska, Peterson, 6'4" kid,
big kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice looking player. The guy who's really starting to catch my eye is Maurice Dupree, an undrafted guy from Jacksonville State. This is a smaller, thinner guy.
Do you think many of our listeners would remember his uncle, Billy Joe?
Is that his uncle?
It is.
Billy Joe Dupree, the tight end from the Cowboys.
Yes.
Didn't know that. Yep. Michigan State guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I just remember from his days.
Big guy, yeah. Block, catch a little, you know.
Some bloodlines there.
There's a Nate Hughes, another good looking. And I'm watching yesterday, and I saw DeJuan Woods drop a ball, and I thought to myself, he's not long for this team because they've got... See, there's the difference. Last year, DeJuan Woods was one of those undrafted stars, one of those street free agent kind of stars in the Underwear League. And
is that what they're calling the UFL?
OTAs. I call it Underwear League.
Right. No, I'm kidding.
Chad Owens was an Underwear League star, and Charles Sharon was an Underwear League star, and DeJuan Woods was last year, and now he's gone because it was time to get him out because they got so many good looking kids.
Yeah, they released him today. All right, we got to take a break. I'm going to do TV. Jeff and Vic are back with you here in the next segment. You're listening to Jaguars This Week exclusively on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
Back on Jaguars This Week, the Sextonless segment, rolling along here with Jeff Loggeman and Vic Ketchman. And Vic, the things that were happening down in Fort Lauderdale with the NFL owners, the 2013 Super Bowl was awarded?
Yeah, New Orleans.
To New Orleans.
Was it 13? Okay.
And two other bidders, I guess, in the process, Miami and Arizona.
Yeah. That's
going to be it, isn't it?
The rotation is Pasadena, Phoenix, New Orleans.
Pasadena?
Yeah, the Rose Bowl. I mean, they're in it.
What do you mean they're in it?
Well, I mean, they're considered part of the Super Bowl rotation. The Rose Bowl, Phoenix, now the new stadium in Phoenix. New Orleans, Miami, Tampa. Those are your...
Dallas will absolutely. Dallas has one coming up.
Yeah, Dallas.
And so does Indianapolis. Obviously, new stadium's online.
Yeah, once in a while you're gonna see a Ford Field or the one in Indianapolis or as the one in Minnesota.
You're gonna get a Super Bowl going forward outside of Arizona, Miami, and New Orleans if you have a new stadium coming online.
Yeah.
Or if you have a major overhaul of an existing stadium.
Yeah, they want cities below that weather line, which Jacksonville is kind of right on that weather line. I don't think we're not going to see another Super Bowl here. I think that the rotation is set for the cities that I said, Miami, Tampa, New Orleans, Dallas is in now, Phoenix, and, of course, the Rose Bowl, Southern California. Those are your rotation, like your U.S. Open courses, you know. Baldus Raul, Oakmont, Wingfoot, Shinnecock, you're going to have those are your regulars. And then every once in a while, you know, one will pop up from out of the rotation, will come in, as Indianapolis will, as Detroit has, as Minneapolis has. But those teams in that lower tier, below the weather line, those are your tried and true Super Bowl hosts.
Does Houston ever get?
Houston just had one at Reliance Stadium.
But, I mean, do they ever get into that mix to where they get consideration for being in the rotation?
I think it'll be Dallas or Houston. But you know, the real tried and true Super Bowl host cities: Miami, Tampa, New Orleans, Phoenix, and Southern California.
When's the last time that Southern California ever had a Super Bowl?
When's the last the Rose Bowl? When did the Rose Bowl last host?
I mean, because to me, I mean, if there's not an NFL team there, they ain't going back there.
Well, they sure would like to, Jeff, because it's 100,000 plus.
No,
facility,
I know it's 100,000, but they don't have a team.
And it's, you always get great weather that time of year.
No luxury boxes.
I know that they had Dallas and Buffalo. I know that they had didn't they have Denver and the Giants? They've had Oakland and Minnesota. So I can write, and I know they have Pittsburgh and Los Angeles. I covered that one. So there's four. I can put my hands on four.
San Diego had it.
Well, but Southern California, just period. Southern California.
Yeah, but Pasadena's not going to get any more.
You don't think so?
No.
No.
Can you imagine?
93? Yeah. I don't agree with you, Jeff, because they remodeled the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, but can you imagine if you've got 32 NFL owners and you're going to snub an opportunity for an NFL owner to use that Super Bowl as kind of leverage to get stadium improvements by giving a Super Bowl to a city that doesn't even have an NFL team? Not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No more. That Pasadena is out of it.
Okay.
Unless they build a new stadium and there's a team in Pasadena, L.A., Super Bowl is done.
Okay.
There, my opinion.
It may be. But they have hosted, and I may add, very successfully, several Super Bowls, and they have been windfalls because, first of all, you're talking about 107,000, 105,000 seats, and you're talking about, you know, that Southern California market and great weather. The Rose Bowl is a fabulous facility, and it's upgraded. It's been remodeled. I'm not pitching for the Rose Bowl.
That was one of the big news and notes out of Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
The other one coming out of there is obviously the extension of the NFL's contract with CBS and Fox, and then you have the NFL Network kind of coming to an agreement with Comcast. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for collective bargaining in the future, in your opinion?
It means the money's there, and the players are certainly going to want their slice of it. DeMorris Smith was in Jacksonville yesterday to meet with
the
Jaguars.
He's the new head of the FLPA.
And he met with reporters beforehand. He met with myself and Vito Stellino, the Florida Times Union, Jim Nasella of the Associated Press. Brian Sexton was there to do an interview with DeMorris Smith. And he's a very charming guy. He's clearly a salesman, a guy who has the kind of salesmanship skills that Trace Armstrong, who was competing for that
he's got some
executive
moxie.
Director's job. You know, I don't think Trace Armstrong is understands the players because he was a player. But those salesmanship skills aren't there.
Let me just give you a little tidbit here, and not to criticize or anything, but do you know that Trace Armstrong was never an elected rep?
I didn't know that. I know that he was one of the finalists for the executive director's job of the union.
He was never an elected player rep for a team, ever.
I'll take your word for it. Anyhow, we met with DeMorris Smith, and as I said, he's a charming guy. He has.
You're giving me that look, Joe. What do you mean? How can that happen? How
does he pull all the weight?
You got to understand one thing, and this is kind of this was one of the things that I didn't really like. when I was rep. Back when the union dissolved and became an association, there were no elected reps. Can't have an election. You're
right.
Operating as a union. So
right.
They were basically appointed information givers to the rest of the players. And I was one of them early on.
Mm-hmm.
When the union reestablished itself, at that point, Trace became or was an appointed executive committee member mm-hmm. for the NFL Players Association. Now, he had to get reelected, but at that point, Gene Upshaw basically had handpicked Trace as the rep when he was with the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he got into that mix, then he was appointed to an executive committee position, and then he was reelected. But he was never an elected rep for a team, nor was he initially elected as a executive committee member for the union. Just a little.
Demoris Smith is an attorney, and he is that right, Van? And he is a high finance guy. I mean, he understands all of the high finance terms, and this is a high finance deal. This isn't just about, we want the right to wear our socks at this height or that height. Now, this isn't
about socks or
equipment. This is about high finance.
The one thing, though, that I think has got to change in the vocabulary or in the message that Demoris Smith is basically putting out there in the verbal negotiating ploys, is that he keeps talking about the owners need to open up the books.
That ain't going to happen. I told him yesterday, it's not going to happen.
What more do you need? I mean, you're seeing the audit of the NFL owners.
Nobody
to determine revenue.
Books. Nobody opens their books. It doesn't happen. Let me tell you something that was quickly here before we go to a break. One of the questions I wanted to get to so badly with him yesterday, and we couldn't get it done because he had to run. We only had 10, 15 minutes with him. I started to ask him about the strategy that a lot of the owners have employed. They have spiked the salaries of players, veteran players, in 2011. And I've seen this in many cases with the idea that it'll be very difficult for these guys to walk away from the biggest salary of their life. You know what I mean? So they with the idea that they'll be selfish, they'll say, yeah, let's do that CBA. Let's go. Let's ratify that. Let's approve that.
Well, and if you're trying to win a war, that's the smart thing.
Well,
to
sure
do
it is,
because you have such a high rate of turnover in the locker room in the NFL. It's not like baseball. It's not like hockey. You know, that room, that player rep meeting that happens every year in Hawaii with the NFL Board of Player Reps, Player Association Board of Player Reps, it changes so much that the consistency is not there year in and year out. It's a constant re-education.
If I was going to pay you $14 million, and I know a guy who, and you were making $2 million the year before, and your contract spiked from $2 million in 10 to $14 million in 11.
And my career is not going to last
much
longer.
Would you say, no, let's deny that, let's not approve that CBA?
It's a tough sell.
You bet you it is.
It's a tough sell whether it's a $14 million
spike.
He's
got his hands full.
Or whether there's no spike at all.
Right.
Because the career spans are so short, and that's the problem that Demoris Smith is going to be dealing with. All right, time for a break, and we'll be back on the other side with Sexton at the helm.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. A little more than 20 minutes left in our program. Sexton, Loggeman, Ketchman. Got a couple of other visitors who shall remain nameless here this evening. We'll join you, though, or invite you to join us on the phones. 355-NFL-1. Do tell, how many emails to Ask Vic today asked if Vic would be here in a Jaguars uniform this fall?
Yeah.
Minnie Michael Vick, who, if you didn't hear, was released from Leavenworth Penitentiary outside Kansas City this morning and was making his way by car.
Mm-hmm.
19-hour drive back to Virginia, where he'll be under house arrest until late July.
I couldn't help but think, what if they opened the door and he got bit by a dog? A dog attack.
Opened the door
to the from Leavenworth
Penitentiary.
I mean, what if some goofy, what if some kook?
Only you could think of that.
What if some kook showed up, you know, with a pit bull? All right, baby. Just like I trained
him. Well, that's
probably
why they took him out of there at dawn.
My dogs hate him.
That'd be the last place in the world that I'd want to go and cause a stir. Yeah, let me go to Leavenworth and bring a dog so I can let it attack somebody.
I've been in front of Leavenworth Penitentiary before. It is a frightening place.
It didn't look good.
No, and I'm sure he is very happy to be leaving there.
How about this one? This is off the beaten path a little bit, but I mean, this is a pie in the face. You know, California's got some real money problems.
Yeah.
So here's one of their solutions. Release 45,000 prisoners at San Quentin. Oh, that'll fix it.
Yeah, they're trying to sell the
prisoners. Nothing like 45,000 prisoners running around the state.
Yeah, 45,000 more unemployed people. And you're talking, because they're not going to get jobs.
Well, it's going to cost money to rearrest them. You know they're going to commit a crime.
Well, was it Arnie?
California's a little different.
Was it Arnie that he was talking about trying to sell San Quentin?
Who?
They're trying to. They want to sell it. They want to turn it into condos.
Come on.
No. That I'll find the story.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I'll find the story.
Trying to.
There was a suggestion that was prime real estate, and you could sell it. And then the question obviously came up: would you convert it into condos, or would you tear it down and build?
No. Convert it.
Is it good?
The windows are a little small, though. If you.
That's all right.
Is it
the ambiance?
Is it good golf course property?
Yeah. I've never been to San Quentin.
I mean, you know, if it's not too hilly.
Let's see here.
Nevada's a good place for that.
But anyhow,
San Quentin for sale. And soon you might be able to live at the San Quentin prison in California.
Oh.
The state faces an estimated $15 billion budget deficit. And so they are talking about selling off several famous landmarks, including the prison.
So instead of, I'm not going to say that. I'll get in trouble. But anyhow, the Michael Vick thing is a hornet's nest.
Should he play?
Well, I think he's paid his debt forever, and I'm repulsed by what he did. But he's paid his debt to society, and yes, I think he should be allowed to play in the league after the commissioner suspends him, as he has to do because he did to Ray Lewis and. Other types that
what amount of games? Five, six?
Four to a year.
I was just about to say, don't you think, because Pac-Man Jones got a year suspension, don't you think he's going to get a year?
Probably.
And then he can reapply in 2010?
Yeah, and then I think he should be allowed to play again. He's paid his debt to society, but that doesn't mean that I am not repulsed by the act of torturing defenseless animals.
Right. And he is, here's his deal now. Once the highest paid player in the league is going to be working a $10 construction job as a laborer, which means what? Picking up the nails and the cups and all the stuff on a construction site.
And he cost himself
$100 million.
Yeah, $100 million.
Doesn't he have any money left?
Ballpark of $100 million.
I'm sure he has to, doesn't he? I mean, he was able to keep a lot of that. Didn't he win
You don't spend a lot of money when you're in jail, right?
He did have to file for bankruptcy from a couple of different creditors, but
Now that's the crime. I mean, the fact that he spent all the money, he should be thrown back in jail for another 3 years.
There was an arbitration, and he won, and Arthur Blank was trying to recoup more than $20 million in signing bonus money that he had already paid to
him. Can't believe he spent all the money. Man, oh man, all the endorsements and everything else, good Lord.
He gave back just under to the Falcons.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, but I mean, he got paid a lot more than that. He was getting what a year?
Oh, he was making a big dollar in salary. He got the big bonus. And then, as you mentioned, he had the AirTran deal. And I think there was it Nike? And there was a Coca-Cola sponsorship. I mean, he had
a
bunch of deals.
You got a calculator up there, Joe?
That's sad. That is really
a million
bad.
Divided by 10.
Well, that's not that hard.
It's 10 million.
Okay, Jeffrey. So we're not done. Okay, divide that by 40. Divide that by 52.
Okay, now you're talking.
10 million divided by 40.
The sum root of
zeros.
$4,800. Okay, so that's the number of years that Michael Vick is going to have to work at the $10 rate to attain 100 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he always asked,
you salvaged your dignity mathematically there.
So the question I'm getting over and over.
I can do
no,
100 million that. Divided
I was
by
like, well, the guy's an
10?
Economics major.
I thought you were
going to
stop there and
not
have any concern. The question I'm getting over and over is should the Jaguars be interested in Michael
Vick? Only if they can charge.
There. Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe people were actually asking that question. I mean, you've got to
who
be
would
kidding.
Be? Who would be?
I mean, how do you this team has a ticket sales problem. How do you build a campaign on he killed dogs? I mean, you know, I mean, what kind of a sales pitch is that?
Not a good one.
Well, I do have some thoughts about the Humane Society, and I'll keep them personal. But I'm not real excited about them getting all the play here.
Wait a minute! Whoa! Now you're anti-Humane Society. You're anti-humaneness.
That would be humanity, right?
Well, humaneness is
humaneness
is compassion. Well, I don't know what it is, but I can tell you it's not humanity.
Wait a second. This is a weird night. He can't divide. You can't get the verbs right. What the heck's going on
here? I want to hear Marlon Perkins here spin this. Humane Society, they do. That means they're good people. They do nice things.
Is that what it means?
Yes,
I think there's a political component.
It means they take animals.
Is that all
and
they do?
What do you think they do?
It's not a matter of what I think they do. It's a matter of what I know they do.
Well, let's hear it.
There's more to the Humane Society than worrying about saving animals.
Isn't that what they do?
They have a very strong political agenda.
What is that? Anti-guns?
Oh, anti-hunting, anti-guns.
That's because they like animals. You want to kill the animal. They want the animal to live.
Vic, your ancestors, by the way... Okay, we're hunter-gatherers. Last time I checked.
I can't imagine that. I mean, they worked
maybe not have been very good at it. Maybe they had to borrow.
Folks, this is why you listen to this show.
Can I get a piece of meat from you?
Yeah. We went down to Brustensky's Market and bought it. We didn't hunt anything.
Would you like to be a vegetarian the rest of your life?
No.
Well, we
grow cows for that. And then
that's
we hit him over
humane.
The head.
That's
very humanely, we hit him over the
humane.
Head.
That's humane.
I knew this was coming. And look at the phones light up. Let's take a break and come back and talk about something else. Shall we? You might want to come back for this. On News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Okay. 7 or 8 minutes left in the program, and, I'm not really quite sure where to go with this conversation at this point. Do we have more facts?
He's pro-Michael Vick.
Oh. I'm not pro-Michael Vick. I mean, I'm not anywhere near that.
No, I don't think you were.
I'm just not pro-Humane Society.
Okay.
And we had callers during the break.
I mean, I'm a dog lover, got my lucky dog at the house. You know, would hate anything ever done in that fashion to him. But like I said, there are other components of the Humane Society that aren't warm and fuzzy.
I was not aware of that. I love the idea of people
you like to eat fish?
Donating their time. Hold on. Donating their time to go out and find dogs that have been chained to stakes and left to starve.
Right.
And then bringing those dogs indoors and bringing them back to health. And I hate and repulsed by the idea of Michael Vick with all that money torturing defenseless animals for his own entertainment. That is something I probably can't forgive.
Don't you think that most people would agree with you? So the
but I will
is,
defend his right to earn a living to work in this.
And
way.
I'm not
as
saying,
you always have.
And I'm not saying that if he has paid his debt to society, he shouldn't. But that's going to be a tall order for an NFL owner to swallow. I'm not just talking about Mr.
No
Weaver
question.
In Jacksonville. No matter
Al,
what,
Al Davis is the candidate. I mean, that just jumps right out at you and say, Oakland's the home.
You might be surprised at how many candidates there will be. He is a talent. He is a difference maker.
What do you think 19 months in prison will do?
You know, he is
deteriorate your skills.
Do you think so?
Absolutely.
Well, because he's gotten older and further away from the game.
Mm-hmm. What that, is that's he interesting.
He's
got to
be 30,
that.
Right?
Well, way to go, Mr. Producer. You know,
Fortunato's thinking about other things that happen in prison.
Oh, my.
This show has really pushed the boundaries.
We didn't say anything what it was. I mean, you know, you got a one-room cell. You can't exercise. You know, I mean, you can't go out into the yard and throw to a bunch of receivers.
I've never been in prison. I don't know. They lift weights.
What else can you do in prison? You can't play 7-on-7.
No. Can't play golf.
No.
Maybe you can. Madoff. I bet you Madoff. He'll get a golf course.
Where is he? Yeah, he's not in Leavenworth. That much is for sure.
No.
Huh. Madoff.
All right. So we're totally off football at this point. What else you want to talk? You want to bet the weather?
No. I think we did that already. Got a OTA practice tomorrow. You know, this team, teams are allowed to have 14. The Jaguars are only going to use 12 of their 14.
Why?
Allotted. I'm going to ask, Jack. I think the answer is obvious because they don't want to do 14 because it's probably unnecessary. I mean,
yeah. Well, those are OTAs now. That's not counting minicamps.
Yeah. So they had 5 minicamp practices, which was one more than a year ago. So they're going to do 17. He probably feels that 17 is all they need. And
what's crazy is that when you have a coaching staff change, you're allowed even more.
Now, I will say this. They are keeping them longer for conditioning this year. They're bringing conditioning closer to the start of training camp. Maybe there's something in that. Maybe they're using the 2 days from OTA. I don't know. I'm going to ask them. But all I know is OTAs, underwear practice can, after a while, become useless. You learned how to play touch football.
Well, the big guys
right?
don't get anything out of this
well,
at all.
Well, no. I mean, you know, most of the times when you have OTAs, a lot of times, I don't know how it worked yesterday, Vic, when you were out there and shouldn't have been, but a lot of times they send the big guys in.
They didn't send them in yesterday.
They'll be out there for a period of time. And in years past, they've had the big guys out there, and then they go back to the weight room to get additional lifting in because they're big guys. And then they would keep the small guys out there for 7-on-7.
I can tell you what Cowher used to always do. He used to, they'd get down to the last week and they'd have 3 practices scheduled. And then after the first one that week, he'd say, all right, that's it, we're done. Let's, you know, good work. And guys would feel like they got, you know, a reprieve from the governor.
Right. The OTAs, Jimmy Johnson. They need to name them the Jimmy Johnson OTAs.
They're a waste, aren't they, Jeff?
After a while, after you have learned how a practice functions, you know, what a drill is, where you need to be, kind of the routine of a practice, after a certain point, they are definitely, what do they have, that point of diminishing returns?
Yeah, law of diminishing returns.
You've got a point there,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the OTAs. And to me, I think 12 is certainly more than enough.
How much more difficult is training camp going to be this year? Will it be noticeably more difficult? I mean, to the folks who are out there, are they going to see a different kind of training camp?
I think that nowadays you have to be careful with that. This is a team that can do more of that because there's going to be more competition. You're going to have competition at least for 2 jobs on the offensive line, at least for 1 wide receiver position. At least for a linebacker position, maybe 2 defensive line positions.
Backup quarterback
position. Certainly a backup quarterback position. Certainly a cornerback, starting cornerback. Certainly a safety position. Yes, you can do that. But I still think that you're being, if a coach gets careless with his talent, it's not a good thing. You can't sap these guys. You can't play, make the playoffs in August.
Well, because the last couple of years, I mean, how many days of actual 2 days did they have?
Well, they have 9 last year, something like that?
5.
Do you think it was because last year's camp wasn't real difficult? Do you think that hurt them?
I don't think it helped.
Okay.
Well, haven't you always been of the belief that one of the things that's missing is pushing that sled?
I'm trying to be a little more progressive. I'm trying to be a little more,
you're trying to take the leather helmet off.
Yes, I'm trying to be a little more contemporary.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't need to be
more
contemporary.
If it was me, I started doing this in a day when they did Oklahoma every day.
Right.
It was a meaningful drill. It wasn't a it wasn't a tone setter. It wasn't something they used for entertainment. It was something they used to teach football. And I love that. And I think that that's missing from the game. But you don't see guys getting their knees dirty anymore. Those days are over. This is a
Money's
stand-up
gotten
game.
Big. Money's gotten big.
No question. That's what it is.
And the roster guidelines,
Oklahoma was every day.
We'll leave on that. Have a great night, everybody. You've been listening to Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. John's Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.